Begin the current daf Masech the Baba Basra daf Kuf Ayin. Begin on the bottom of Kuf Samach Tesim Abayz, four lines up in the bottom of the Yamud, where the Gemara introduces a new brisa that will relate back to the discussion that we left off with on the previous daf, quoting from the brisa regarding Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. If someone gives back just the document of the gift, it's the gift has been given back and he doesn't have it anymore, which Rabbi had explained that's contingent on the Machlekes if. Where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that Oisis Niknas B'Mesira, that just the giving over the words itself in the document will make the acquisition, that the Gemara will discuss that in relation to a different statement of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and to see if that contradicts. So Tanabon learned the Braisa. Habot Lidun. If someone's coming to contest regarding someone who's contesting his rights of the field that he has, someone has a field, and someone's contesting saying, hey, it's not your field, so he's coming to respond back to him, B'Shtar U'B'Chazaka. In other words, he's claiming, first of all, I bought this land from you and I have the document still. And moreover, I even have witnesses who could prove that I've been here for the 3 years of Chazakah, which either one of these would be a winning claim in court. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to explain the differences of opinions, but the first opinion mentioned in this Bryce is Nidon Bishtar Divi Rabbi. Rabbi says that the way he litigates against the one who's contesting him is with a document. And we're going to explain each one accordingly as the Gemara goes on to explain what is the interpretation and what Rebbe means to say. But it says he litigates, he responds back as a defendant with his document. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he disagrees. He says, Bechazaka. Now again, as we said, based on the different Amarok interpretations in this price, so you're going to have to explain Rabbi Shimon's opinion in different ways. One way we're going to see is that what he's saying is that with a chazaka and not with a shtar, the shtar will not win for him in court, only the chazaka. And that those who are actually going to explain that he's saying that no, for sure it'd work with a shtar, but he doesn't need a shtar, he could even win with the chazaka. But that is the machlekes, Rebbe saying with the shtar, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel saying with the chazaka. So the Gemara is going to explain. But my kemefaki, so what is the fundamental point that they're disagreeing about, and through the explaining the machlekes, we'll know how to explain their opinions in the braisa. So says the Gemara, Kiyasar of Dimi Yama, when he came and he said, Ba'isis niknis b'mesir kemiflegi, which is going to relate us right back to the theme from the previous daf, they're disagreeing regarding if letters could be acquired with just handing it over, meaning by just giving over the document, does that create a kinyan? As we get to the top of Kofa Ayin Manalf. Shimon Gamliel Saba, he holds, Ein Oisis niknis b'mesira. Letters cannot be acquired by just handing it over, and therefore, what he was saying was, is that you need to have witnesses of the chazaka. Why? Because when the other one says, when the other one had told him that, here, lei chazek v'kaneh, go ahead, take a possession and acquire, where again, here the interpretation of chazaka is not as the chazaka of Gimel Shanim, but according to this interpretation of Rav Dimi, it's actually talking about a kinyan of chazaka. What Rav Shimon Gamliel was saying was that the way he could win in court is only if he brings witnesses that the guy told him to do a kinyan of chazaka, and he did the kinyan of chazaka, and that's because land could be acquired in one of three ways, either with money, or with a document of sale or of gift, or with a chazaka. So what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was saying was that nidin b'chazaka means, according to this interpretation, and not with a document. Just giving over the document, that doesn't give you anything. Oisius cannot be niknas b'mesira. You could only win in court if you produce witnesses that you did a different kinyan, that of a kinyan of chazaka. Whereas Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds that no, oisis niknis b'mesira, letters could be acquired with just handing it over. As we find Rebbe's opinion as such earlier on the Ayin Vav Med Aleph regarding if someone sells a shtar chayv to his friend. So Rebbe said that once he hands over the document in his hand, he's already acquired that debt. And now the borrower who was liable to the lender now owes it to the borrower just like he was indebted to the lender, as Shmuel had explained him there, as long as the lender doesn't forgive, that debt is now owed just by the handing over the document to that person who bought the debt from the lender. So therefore, that's what Rebbe is coming to say when the Braisa says, Habalidin b'shtar b'chazaka, someone who's coming to litigate against a contester with a document or a chazaka, which is that Reuven comes to respond to the Ma'ar and says, no, this is my field. And you know why it's my field? Because Shimon bought this field from Levi. And then Shimon gave that document, that deed, which was written in his name, he went and he gave it to me because I bought the field from him. How did I buy the field from him? By him just handing over the document to me, it's as if it's written in my name, the deed. And moreover, he says, besides that, I also did a chazaka on this field for 3 years already. And that, says Rebbe, the nidun, the way he wins in court is with a document, meaning that by just the document which was given to him by the consumer, that's how he goes and he acquires the field because he holds eisnius niknis b'mesira. Letters can be acquired just by handing it over. And according to this interpretation, what Rebbe is saying is that he doesn't need to bring any more the eidim of the chazaka. Meaning if he had witnesses that he's been muchzik for 3 years, that itself would have given it to him. But says Rebbe, you don't have to because just the shtar, because he holds that eisnius niknis b'mesira, that itself could win it because look, I'm having the document just by it having been given to me, that was a kinyan and therefore I do own this field. That's Rav Dimi's interpretation. And that Omale Abaye asked Rav Dimi, and he says, wait a second. Im kein, if that's the case, the way you're interpreting the machleik is, plukta, that means your words are disagreeing, l'demar, to the interpretation of Rabbah, which we ended off the previous daf from, where he explained that Rav Shimon holds Isis are niknes b'mesira, and you're saying, according to Rav Shimon, that Isis are not niknes b'mesira. You're learning that what he says, no, it has to be the chazaka, and it cannot be the shtar. Why? Because Isis cannot be niknes b'mesira. But however, we said in the previous daf, that Rabbah had said that Rav Shimon holds that Isis are niknes b'mesira. So Amalei, so Rav Dimi responded to Abaye, he says, okay, v'tif, so let it be that I'm disagreeing with him. I'm not concerned with that I am an Amor like him and I'm disagreeing with him. However, Amalei Abaye responded back to me, says, no, hachikim in, look, this is what I was telling you. Masnito le'metarza elikim de'metarza mar. The only way we could interpret the braisa from the previous daf of Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is only the way Rabbah had explained it. And that is because, as we had, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's halacha was that when someone gives back a gift, he then loses the gift. So the only logical interpretation was the way Rabbi had said it, was because Isis niknes b'mesira. By giving it back, he lost the gift. V'im kein, and if that's the case, that's the only logical explanation of the braisa, the way Rabbi had said it, then kasha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ad Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the way you're interpreting the braisa, that he's saying that it's not niknes b'mesira, is contradicting Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's own opinion that says that Isis are niknes b'mesira. So Elam Abai, rather Abai gives a different interpretation in this braisa's machlekes. Regarding this document, that this machlekes Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not, as we had, Rav Dimi had explained it, that we're talking about a document which was written in someone else's name, and then that person had just given over the document to this other person who has the field right now. Because actually, both according to Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Isis are niknes b'mesira. Rebbe, as we mentioned before in Perek HaMecher, says, Finan Daf Ayin Vav Min Aleph, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, as we said in the previous daf, the way Rabbah had explained it. So that, of course, he would be able to win in court just with that shtar. Rather, what we're talking about over here is a document of a sale which was written from the seller to this consumer, which is like the halacha that we know in general, a karka, a piece of land, can be acquired with a document. So what's the machlokes? Because hachmai skinna, what are we talking about over here in this braisa, is kegoin shenimtza echad mehen, where we find that one of the witnesses signed on the document are karav a apostle, is either a relative who's also apostle, or someone that's intrinsically apostle to be a witness. So what's the machlekes? Ubeplukt dremei of Rebbe Loza. Come again, they're disagreeing, this Rebbe Rav Shimon Gamliel, in the machlekes of Rebbe Loza and Rebbe Meir, which is Rebbe Sabel like Rebbe Loza. Rebbe holds like Rebbe Loza the Amma that he says, and this is Brorim Sef Deskitin, Daf Pevav Min Aleph, that witnesses do not have to sign on a get, on the document, on the divorce document. The only reason why they do is because of Tikkun Olam, is that we shouldn't run into later problems. So that was a rabbinic injunction. But the truth is because he holds Eid Misiri Karti. What actually causes the severance of the divorce document? What causes the creases is actually the witnesses who saw the giving over of the get. So it comes out that really a get is kosher with just the writing of the document without witnesses signing it. It's the primary halacha actually is that just that witnesses have to be present when the husband gives it over to the wife. As the Pasuk says, v'chasavla, just as he has to write for her sefer krisis, which tells us that he just has to write it and doesn't have to have it signed. It's just that he has to have witnesses who have to be present at the time when he's giving it over to her and divorcing her. So therefore, here also, yes, if you have edim that are apostle in the document, so they're not going to be valid, so it's like as if there's no witnesses signed in the document. Now, but since he holds a gribalah, so you don't need to have witnesses signed in the document. So it's as if you're going to qualify the shtar without, that it says Rebbe, all you need is the shtar, you don't need to have the witnesses that he had a chazaka, because all he has to do is bring witnesses that it was written over and it was given over in front of them, because the shtar itself is valid without the witnesses, and the field could be acquired with a document, therefore, by default, even without witnesses. So therefore, says Rebbe, yeah, the shtar is going to be kosher. You don't need the edi chazaka. The shtar itself is valid, because all you need is edi mesira, the witnesses who saw that it was given over, but not witnesses to be signed inside. Whereas Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, however, he says that no, you have to have been acquired it, not with the shtar, but rather with the chazaka. In other words, if the seller had told him, lechazek v'kani, go ahead and take possession, and again, not as the cheskes gemol shonim, but rather as the kinyan of chazaka, the reason why you would have to have win in court with the chazaka is because a document without witnesses does not acquire. Why? Because some of the grameya, he holds a grameya, gama edi chasi mekarti, that he says that no, what actually creates the severance, what validates the document, is the witnesses that are signing it. Because he learns this, that it says the chas of la seva krisis, to write it means the signing of the witnesses, the Torah's particular, as the Gemara explains at length, and Mesefta's Gittin. So they put that, is there machlekes? Rebbe who holds that you don't need to have witnesses sign on, so okay, so they're pasul edi, this doesn't make a difference, it's still going to be a valid shtar, and they can win that way. Because he was acquired it from the seller with that document. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel, who holds that, like Reb Meir, that no, you do need witnesses, if it's not going to be valid, he could only win with the kinyan of chazaka. Obviously not the cheskes gemashon, because that would be based on the shtar, and the whole shtar was possible. We're talking about, he has to win with the kinyan of chazaka. Now, however, on this interpretation of Abaye, the Gemara asked the following question. But Vama Rabbaba said, Rabbi Lazar agreed, although he says that you don't need to have witnesses signed in the document for it to be valid, but he does agree, but if it's internally flawed and forged with the witnesses inside, then it will be possible. Because only if you have a get, a document without witnesses, is a kasher, because like we said, the primary thing that the Torah is particular about is edim mesira, witnesses who just witnessed the giving over of the document. But if inside the document you ended up signing false or invalid witnesses, then it will be possible because it's intrinsically flawed. So how can you say that it's talking about a case of karav apostle? Because then even Rebbe Lazar would agree that it's not going to be valid. So how could Rebbe say then you would use such a shtar? So Ella Amar Rebbe Avina, rather Rebbe Avina says, Hakol, everybody, meaning Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, Maidim, they agree, Shem Kosav Bai, that it says, if it says inside the document, whose Kaknu Le Dusin Shal Edun, that if we checked into these witnesses, Benimtzes Edusin Mizayafes, and you're right, if we found that they were forged or flawed, Shem Pasel, you're right, everyone would agree in that case, responding to the Gemara's question, that would be Pasel Kedir Bab, like Rebbe said. But Leinechelku, so therefore he changes a little bit what from Abaye's answer. Leinechelku el b'shtar she'ainu l'avedim klal. Their machlekes was not that there was a aid that was karav apostle, because then everyone would agree that's void. But rather when there's no witnesses at all, where then the Rebbe Sabbat like Rebbe Lazar, the Rebbe holds like Rebbe Lazar, the Am Aid Mesir Kate says that you only need to have witnesses that it was given over in front of them, not to have to actually been signed. So therefore he holds that like he says in the Braisa Bishtar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, the severance, the primary element of the document is the signing of them inside them. Since it's not, if it's not going to be valid, that's why he says you have to win in the court against the Ma'ar with the Chazaka. That's one approach. Viba Yisem, or if you want, says the Gemara, you could say that the case that we're talking about, that they're disagreeing about, is B'mayda, is where the one who's contesting, he admits, Bishtar Shekasavai. He admits that he had written this document that's in the hand of the person that he's contesting against. But what they're disagreeing about, Rebbe Mishim Lil, is, but does it still have to be validated? In other words, because the Me'ar is saying, yes, I wrote this document, but I never sold it to him. I had the document and it fell from me. So yes, I admit that it was written, but that doesn't prove that it's his. And therefore, though he's holding the document, it's just because I dropped it and he found it. So therefore, he's contesting. It's regarding such a case that they're disagreeing about. What's the machlok? It says the Gemara, the Rebbe Savar, Rebbe holds, when the seller admits that he had written the document, it doesn't have to be verified anymore. And since it doesn't have to be verified, we assume what the consumer is holding with this document showing that he bought it, then we assume that it's a kosher document and that he did buy it. As the Rashbam explains, you can't compare this to generally, which would make it sound like that the seller should be believed, because this is known as the principle of Pesha Asu Pesha Hitter. He made the problem, he could undo the problem. Had he not agreed that he had written it, so then it wouldn't be kosher because it would have to be validated. But he's saying that I did write it. It's just, but there's a different problem because I never gave it to him. That says Rashbam, an explanation of Rebbe's opinion, that no, here you don't have a Peshas or a Peshitta, because even if this one who's contesting would say that I did not write it, we really wouldn't suspect this consumer that he forged it, because the Jewish people are not suspect to make forged documents. It's just that the Chacham was stringent to require validation where there is a someone contesting. So therefore, once he does say that he did write it, so then we do believe the one who's holding the document that it is valid and that it is his. Because it's not a real full-fledged Pesha Asr or Pesha Hitter. Because really, when he contests, it's not really his own nemanis that's requiring us to validate. The Chacham are concerned, so they go ahead and they make that added stringency. But you don't have the Pesha Asr to allow the nemanis of the Ma'ar to make this Pesha Hitter. And therefore, you don't have to validate it, and therefore, it's a kosher document. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Sava, however, he holds no tzarch l'kaimai. You do have to validate it. And therefore, that was what Rabbi Shimon was saying when he says, nidin mechazaka, what he was saying was, v'loy bishtar, that you could only do it with the chazaka to win, and not with the document, because the document's not going to help, meaning, as long as it's not validated through other witnesses, even though the one who's contesting admits that he had written it, but since he says, I wrote it, but he's also saying, but I never gave it to him, so therefore he does hold of this Pesha Asu Pesha Hitter, and therefore, you would, even though he's Moed B'Shtasha Kasavli, you would still have to be Mekayim, and therefore wouldn't be valid. So that's the Machlokes. If Moed B'Shtasha Kasavli Kaim, Rabbi holds that you don't have to, and therefore it is valid, and whereas Rabbi Shmuel holds that you do have to, and therefore it's not valid, again, until it's Mekayim, and therefore up until you're Mekayim, it could only win with the Chazaka, and not with the Shtar. Now, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, but Vayipcha Shamin Lo, but actually, as it's brought in Perek Shnayim Oichz in the Bab Metziah, we actually learned the exact opposite attributions of opinions in this halacha of Moed B'Shtasha Kasli, if you have to be Mekayim or not. Because the Tanya learned in the following Braisa, it says, Shnayim Aduka Mishtar, if two people are holding on to a document, and they come into court, they're both holding on to it, Malvo Imesh Alihu, the lender says, this is my document, meaning that he still owes me this money. V'nafa Mimenu Umitzasoi, it fell for me, and I found it. And the borrower says, yes, it's yours, but I already paid it up to you. And they're both holding on to it, each one claiming that it's mine. So it says the Braisa, Rebbe says that what you do is you validate the document with its signatures to make sure that it's kosher, and then the lender could collect the entire debt that's owed, that's said there in the document, as the Gemara will actually explain this halacha of this Braisa. He says, no, yachloiku, you divide it. And that's because each one's holding on to half. We view them as equal partners, at least in the doubt that we have regarding this document, and they split it. Now, says the Gemara, before we conclude the question, v'havinba. Now, we had asked over there in Perek Shnayim Eichzin on this opinion of Rebbe. But v'leslila Rebbe hadetnan, doesn't he agree to what we learned in the Mishnah above Metziah? The Mishnah says, Shnayim Eichzin metal is two people holding on to a cloak. Zayimra nimetzasiyah. One party says, I found it. The other one says, no, I found it. So each one's claiming the whole talis. So this guy swears he doesn't have less than half. And he swears he doesn't own less than half. And then says the Mishnah, without any disputants, the Mishnah says, and they divide it. So the question is, so here too, when two people are holding on to the document, he's saying, the lender's saying it's all mine. The bar is saying, no, it's all mine. The halacha should be, just like by the talis, that the lender should be allowed to collect at most half of the document and not more. So how does Rebbe say, you mekayim it, and then he collects the whole thing? Now, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, so, and Rav had said to Rav Nachman that he answered, you're right. Bimukuyim, when the document is already validated, meaning it has a henpik, which is already a verification document from the courts that said we already validated this document. He says, you're right, of course, no one would disagree, even Rebbe, that when they come with this document, that they would divide it between the two of them, which is right, just like the halacha and the Mishnah of Shnayim Eichzin Metalis, that at most, each one only gets half. Ki peligi b'she'enim akuyim. Their machlekes in the braisa between Rebbe and Shmuel Gamliel was told about a document that was not validated yet. Rebbe Savar Maid B'Shtashik Savar Tzorach L'Kama. He was saying that you can't do anything yet until it's verified. Because even though the bar admits, like this claim was recorded there in the braisa, he says, yes, this was your document, but I paid you up. So he's admitting that it was written, but still, even though he's admitting that it was written, but he's contesting something regarding the document. So therefore, says Rebbe, it has to be verified first. And therefore, v'i mekayim lei, If it's verified, only then is there something to talk about. That's where Gavi Palga, not like we had assumed originally that then he collects the whole thing. Then he gets to collect half the debt that's in the document, but then the other half he loses because, again, he's not the only one holding on to it. Just like the case of the talis. The borrower is holding on to the other half, and therefore, the borrower will, so to speak, get half, meaning exempt from half, but the lender will get half, they'll have to collect half. Now, but the Eloi, but if it doesn't validate it, doesn't verify it, the Chas B'Bamo, it's just like a shard, it's just like a piece of paper, it has no value whatsoever. In contrast, Rabbi Shimon Liel Savar, he held that no, when the bar admits that the document was written, in the Tzarech L'Kaima, it doesn't have to be verified anymore, and therefore, V'Achleiku, it's automatically divided, meaning the lender automatically gets half, so therefore, the way the Bryce explained is not that they were disagreeing regarding the amounts. Everyone agrees, when two people are holding on to something, it's split down the middle, and it'll be Yachleku. The only Machlekes was, how do you get to the Yachleku? Shimon Gamliel held it's automatic, because it doesn't have to be verified, because he's admitting to the documentation. He's not believed to say a Pesha also Pesha, but oh yeah, I agree that we wrote it, but I paid you up. No, you're not believed. I'm holding on to it. I get it. At least my half. Whereas Rebbe held that, no, you have to be Mekayimah to even start anything. But one thing is, we see it's exactly the opposite of how we said it before. In regards to Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, who's the one that says that you have to Mekayimah and it doesn't have to? So the Gemara, okay, epoch, so you have to switch around the attribution of the opinions mentioned in that Bryson, but Metzia, the way we say it over here, that it's actually Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that you have to mekayim it, and Rebbe holds that you don't have to mekayim it, like we said over here in this Bryson, he holds that you don't have to, and therefore he wins with the shtar, whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, he has to be mekayim it, and up until he does, he could only win in the court against the one who's being ma'ar with the chazak. Or the Gemara says, v'ibayisim, or if you want, you could say that loylam loy tepech, you don't have to switch around how it was mentioned in the opinions of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe of how they hold of Moed B'Shtash Shiksavi if you have to Mekayim it or not. But rather, it's like how it was said over there. Ella, rather, we're going to give you a different interpretation, a different machlekes that we're explaining in this brisa of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here. Because Hacha B'Lavar K'Mefugi, here what they're disagreeing about is regarding a different concept regarding clarification. In other words, if someone responds back to the plaintiff, to the one who's contesting, that he says, actually, I have two winning arguments in court. First of all, I have in my hand the document of the sale that you made for me on this field. So that's first of all, I could win with the document. Moreover, I even have witnesses who could verify that I've been on this field for 3 years, which is the Cheskes Gemashanim, and that itself I could win. And that is what the disagreeing, that Rebbe says needed mishtar. What that means to say is that you also need the shtar. You have to verify and truth and put up regarding the words that you're claiming and to bring the document like you said. In other words, and the witnesses of the chazaka that you were here for 3 years, if you wouldn't bring the document, it's not going to help you over here. Why? Because since over here the guy was contesting and saying, I never gave you a document, I never sold you this field, and even if you were muchzik, it was inappropriate because you were just squatting in someone else's field for 3 years. And this guy responds, well, I have a document to prove that I bought it. Now, had he not said that, it would have been enough with the witnesses who verified that he's been there for 3 years. Of a chazak, as the Gemara says, a cheskes habat, and we have a chav testament aleph, that up until 3 years, a person is careful with his documentation. More than that, not. We don't require him to hold on to the document more than 3 years. So if he has at least a chazak of 3 years, that itself would win. But once you now say that you have the document, then go ahead and prove that. Then you also need to bring the document. We're not going to take anymore just to edei chazak. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel, he holds, when he was saying that nidin mechazaka, he was saying that no, it also could work just with the chazaka, as if he only came with the claim that he had a chazaka without a documentation, and therefore, for sure, if he brings the document of the sale, of course he wouldn't need the edei chazaka, because that itself would show that he bought it. But he's saying that you don't even need the shtar. You could come just with the edei chazaka because he holds a person does not have to clarify all the superfluous and extra claims that he made, which were unnecessary. And therefore, just like if he initially just argued and said, well, I lost my document, but I have a chazaka, I've been there for 3 years, that would be enough. So even when he says that I do have a document with my chazaka, it's enough with the chazaka, even without the document. As the Gemara illustrates this concept, ki hadr av Yitzchok bar Yosef, like it was with Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef, have a masik beizuzi bar Abba. He was collecting, he was owed money, he was trying to collect money from Rabbi Abba. So asla kamed Rabbi Yitzchok nafcha, as he came to the dayan, to the judge, to the rav, in front of Rabbi Yitzchok nafcha. So Amas, Rabbi Abba said, praticha b'fnei pleni pleni, the money that I owe you, I already paid you up in front of those two guys. So Amalei Rebitzchak, so Rebitzchak Nafka said to him, okay, Yevo you plain and plain of Yidu. Let bring those two guys and let them testify that you paid up in front of them. So Amalei, so Rebaba said to him, wait a second. Eloi Asu, if they wouldn't come, what do you think? Loi Mehemna? I wouldn't be believed to say that I paid up the debt even without witnesses? But Vakai Malan, but we know as the Gemara says in Perek Shavuos HaDayanin, Hamavas Chaver Be'edim, even if he had lent me money in front of witnesses, the Halachas Ein Tzarich Lefar Be'edim, he doesn't have to pay back in front of witnesses. Why? I have to bring these two witnesses? I don't have to. I would be believed even if I didn't, even if I said I paid up not in front of witnesses. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yitzchak said to Rabbi, Ano Bahi, me, regarding that Halacha, Kishmait de Demar Svirali, I hold like the teaching of the master, meaning like your teaching that you said in the name of Rav, that you do need to bring the witnesses that you said that you had paid back in front of and to require them to testify. Now, Rashbam actually brings out interestingly that, however, even if the witnesses would come and they would say that it never happened, actually, as Rav says in Perek Shavuos HaDayan and Shavuos Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, that since it's not incumbent upon someone, it's not something that he would normally pay attention to when he's paying back to know who are the two people. Actually, since the halacha is like Rav over there, the bar could just swear that he did pay him and he would actually be exempt. Because all he has to do is bring them, even if they would say not like what he's saying. But regardless of that, he's saying that I hold like your teaching that you said over the name of Rav that you do need to bring the people that you said were there when you, at least you got to bring them. Unlike that teaching of Rav, which is, okay, once you bring them, that'll be differently. Because the Amr Rav Abba, Amr Rav Adab Rav, Amr Rav, you yourself, Rav Abba, had been said over that you said the name of Rav. If someone says to his friend, I paid you up in front of this guy and this guy, you have to bring those people and let them testify. So your own teaching incriminates you. So Amalei, Rav Abba responded to me, says, wait a second. You're telling me from Rav. Rav Gidl himself said over the name of Rav, Halacha Kedivri B'Shimim Gamliel. The Halacha follows like B'Shimim Gamliel, who, as we just said before, the Halacha is, when he says Nidun B'Chazaka, meant to say that all he has to go ahead and establish is the Chazaka, meaning to show that he was a Muchzakir for 3 years, because since he didn't have to claim that he had a document in his hand, because he's been there already and he consumed the produce for 3 years, so therefore he doesn't have to verify the extra claims that he said, which were not necessary. So says Rababa, me too, that since even without witnesses, I would be believed to say that I paid him up, I don't have to clarify anymore and bring the witnesses that I said. Moreover, continues Rabbi, he says, V'af Rebbe, and even Rebbe, who disagrees with Reb Shimon Gamliel, Lo Yezer Kitimut Beis, Amar, El Lavar. His whole opinion was based on this concept of clarification. In other words, what Rabbi is trying to tell Reb Yitzchak is that it makes sense that the halacha would follow Reb Shimon Gamliel, because even Rebbe, the only reason why he disagrees is only because he holds that you have to clarify your extra claims once you mention that you have a document, so you have to verify that. Now, but Rebbe himself says, Rav Abba agrees, that had he not made the claim, he would not require more than the chazak itself. So therefore, it says Rav Abba, in logic, in Soi, says, so since their whole disagreement is only regarding clarification, it definitely wouldn't make sense that the opinion of Reb Shimon Gamliel, that a person shouldn't lose because he said more. I didn't need it. So what, because I brought him more evidence and you have a problem with that evidence, I should lose the court case? I would have won with this. Just take this. I don't have to bring in anything more. And therefore, says Rav Abba, the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, I don't have to bring in the witnesses that I said I paid in front of. I could have just said that I paid up and even without witnesses. But on that Amalei, Reb Yitzchak responded back to me, says, Anonami Lavar Kamini, you're right. I am also saying, I need you to clarify the extra claims that you said, which although unnecessary, but you did. In other words, what he was essentially telling was that I hold like Rebbe, and therefore if you don't clarify your words, you're going to lose out. Which is like Rebbe, who said that you have to clarify, it's not enough with the chazaka, you also have to bring the shtar. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding what we said, Misha Para Miktzas Chayvay. If someone paid up part of the debt, which, as Rashbam explains, we're talking about over here that a loan that was recorded in the document. Now the concern over here is, if we don't do anything, if let's say it was a $1,000 loan, and the borrower paid up already $500, if it stays status quo, the lender still has a document that he owes him $1,000, he might come to still collect $1,000, even though now he only owes him $500. So what do you do? So Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Yachlef, he says what you do is that you switch, you make a swap. You tear the old document, and you write a new document according to the calculation of how much is still left in the debt, as the Gemara will explain, but however, from the original date, and you write a new document. Rabbi Yisim, he says, Yichtiv Shaber, no, what you do is that you maintain the old document, you just write a receipt for the borrower, and it shows that I already paid up $500 of the $1,000 debt, and then the borrower holds on to that. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, however, Rabbi Yehuda responds back to Rabbi Yisi, he says, but Nimtza Zed, Sarach Lir, Shemir Shevar, Menachbar, but that, if that's the case, it's going to come out that the borrower is going to have to protect his receipt from the mice, and if he loses his receipt, you're going to create problems, because now the lender is going to be able to go ahead and collect the whole entire debt, even though he already paid up, let's say, half the debt. On that, Rabbi Yisi responds back to Rabbi Yehuda, well, Kach Yafalai, well, that's appropriate to be done for the lender, and the reason for that is because the borrower should be concerned that he has to protect a receipt and not the lender, because as the Gemara explains from a pasuk in Mishlei, what's called Eved Leivel Ish Malva, yeah, the borrower is the servant, he's the slave to the lender. The lender is the one that's giving him the money, the borrower is getting all that benefit. It makes sense that the lender should put the borrower in the more difficult position, and that it shouldn't cause any diminishment of the strength of the lender, which is to require him to switch a document. Additionally, is like Rabbi Huda says in the Gemara, because we actually want the borrower to feel pressured so that it will force him to pay up so that he can get the document back and not have to hold on to the receipt forever. And therefore, it makes sense as Rabbi Yisi to do it this way with the receipt and not to require the lender to go ahead and do a whole new document. Now, says the Gemara, Amar Avuna Marav, in halacha, the halacha does not follow like either one of the two Tanoic opinions mentioned in our Mishnah, says Rav, like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda who says that you switch the document. In other words, even if it means to write it from the original date, which the original loan was from, but as the Gemara will explain, what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that that's done through the witnesses, even not by the court, and that Rav disagrees with that, and he says that witnesses are not strong enough in law to tear up an old document, and to swap it, and to go ahead and write a whole new document from the original date. So therefore he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. And for like Rabbi Yisi, neither is Allah like Rabbi Yisi, who he says that you write a receipt, and that the borrower is going to have to protect it from the mice, he disagrees with that concept too. He says you don't go ahead and you write a shaver. Ella, rather, says Rab, what's the halacha? Bez din mekaren hashtar. It's the court that tears up the document. And the court goes ahead and writes a new document from the original date according to the amount of money that is now still owed. And the reason why that Rav could do this is because he's known as the Gemara brings Tanuhu Palak. He, although he's not Meirah, but he was the end of the era of the Tanoim, the beginning of the Meiram, he could disagree with the two Tanoim of our Mishnah. Now, however, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, V'amadlan Samzei Rav Yimri Ba'abal Rav Huna, he said, Ishmielei l'rav ha-braisa, had Rav heard this braisa, which the Gemara is going to bring later on the next daf, but the Gemara here quotes the part of Rabbi Yehuda's teaching, which was talking about regarding someone who paid up half the debt. The Tanya, like we learned in the braisa that says, Eidim mekaren es ashtar, the halacha is that the witnesses tear up the document, v'koisim l'shtar achim es man rishon, and they write for him a new document from the first date, have a hadabay. Rav would have retracted, he would have admitted the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rav essentially said the same thing. Because what's the difference if it's the court or if it's the witnesses? The same thing, it's just writing a new document. And therefore, it would seem like that he was saying that Rav probably thought, Rabbi Yehuda was saying, when you write a new document, it's from a later date. So therefore, that's going to cause a loss for the lender, because now he could only collect from incumbent properties from a later date. But says Rav Nachman or Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba to Rav Huna, had he heard this braisa, which Rabbi Yehuda himself was recorded as saying it's from the first date, then he would have agreed that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and he would not have disputed the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. On that, Amalei Rav Huna responded back, and he says, no, Shmielei, Rav did hear this braisa, v'loy haderbei, and he did not retract, because the braisa teaches a different element that you're not getting, that's not regarding the date. That he knew Rabbi Yehuda was also like him, that says you write it from the original date. But the braisa records Rabbi Yehuda as saying that the witnesses tear up and write a new document. But Rav held that no, it has to be the court and not the witnesses, because as we continue to talk about Kaf Ayin Aleph, that Bishlam Beidina very well could be understood the court, that they could tear up and then switch for a new document and write that new document from the first date, which really in halacha is inappropriate to write from the first date, because according to basic halacha, you cannot go ahead and write a document to collect more than the date that it was written on. And here they're writing the original date, which is not the date when they're writing this now. But however, the courts, we could understand, alimi lafku mimayna, they're strong enough to go ahead and extract money from people, which is from the earlier date because of what we know as the halachic principle, as the Gemara brings many times, of hefker bezen hefker. The courts have the right to declare people's money ownerless, and they do this in the situation where the original document was that earlier date, and although they're writing a new document, they could do it from then. But regarding witnesses who they're just performing an agency to write and to sign on the document, and they did it on the first document, how could they be chayzen b'eisen shlichusen? How could they go back and now do a whole new shlichus and to write the earlier date? Who gave them that authority, that power to write the earlier date? And that's why he disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda and said, no, it has to be the court, not the witnesses. Now, actually, the Gemara responds back to this point and says, what, balay and not? What, you think witnesses cannot go back and rewrite over the document, even at a later point in time, from the original date? But Va'am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Rav himself was recorded as saying that if someone lost his document, and he tells the witnesses, do me a favor, write me a new document, said Rav. So the Edim could go back, and Kaisvin Afila Asar Shtaris, they could even write 10 documents, if let's say it was lost again and again and again and again, they could write from even 10 documents al sada achas on one field. So you see that Rav does hold that that the witnesses could write over documents. So how is he's being explained that Rav was disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda because the old witnesses can't and only Besdin could? So that the Gemara gives two answers. Rabbi Yosef Amar, he says, no, the truth is that there is no authority invested in witnesses to go ahead and rewrite over a new document which would allow the recipient of the document to collect from the kuches, which is a case that we're describing in our Mishnah regarding the ability of collecting from incumbent properties. When Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that was only said b'shtar matana, by a gift document, which generally there's no insurance on that, and therefore there's no collecting, not from the one who gave it to him or from any lekuches. So since everybody knows that he gave him the field, so why wouldn't the witnesses be able to write for him a new document of the gift, just that he could verify, just that he could hold on to the document? But it's not running into any problem about lekuches, because that, you're right, there's no right for that for the witnesses to do. Over Rabbah, he takes it one step further. He says, no, that you could even say Rabbi Yehuda's halacha in the name of Rav was even by a shtar mechira, not only just by a shtar matana, that they could write it even 10 times. But it's talking about in the case, b'shtar she'im by a chrayis, by a document that there was no insurance. As we said on Daf Kof Samachesim Abeis, for example, that when we said chutz me'achrayis shabai, as Rav Nachman had explained, where it's written in the document that this document is only for proof purposes and not for collection purposes, and so therefore then we don't run into any problems about who invests them with authority of collecting from an earlier date, that's problematic. Yes, you're right, that only the court could do as Rav holds, and therefore he disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. This other teaching of Rav was talking about either shtar matana or even the shtar mecha, but she'im b'achrayis, which doesn't run into that problem, and therefore only there could the witnesses rewrite even 10 times the same document.